At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is VSiN's College Basketball Betting Podcast. Here is your host, Tim Murray.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the College Basketball Betting Podcast. Alongside Matt Newmans, I am Tim Murray. It feels like we're back in October, Matt, getting ready to break down a college football card.
Yeah, it's good to be here, too. March Madness right around the corner. Tim, guys like you and I have been handicapping these games every night since early November, but a lot of people are just getting into college hoops right now, and that's fine. And that's why we're here, to get people updated on what's going on with these teams, because there's so many games on the betting board every night in college hoops that your handicapping never stops. And it's such a fluid situation. You know, I have people ask me almost every day, what are your picks for the Final Four? You know, I say, look, you can't, nobody can answer that. And first of all, you can never answer that until you see the brackets. And the other thing is, it's a very fluid situation with these, especially this year with these teams. I hate to say it's wide open, because I really don't, that's a cliche, first of all, and I don't think it is wide open. I think there's only 12 teams that can win the national championship. But any of those 12 could get knocked off in the first two rounds of the tournament, too.
Yeah, it's really, and I know sometimes I feel like people who don't follow the sport, Matt, just say, yeah, it's wide open. It's going to be a crazy tournament. And you're like, yeah, well, do you actually watch college basketball? But I could foresee, you know, Tennessee, for instance. We're recording this on Thursday. They go out, they beat Alabama. I was on Tennessee, really liked the spot last night against Alabama. I am going to fade Tennessee come tournament time, because you know this, Matt. A team that is that struggles that much offensively, come the tournament, you face that one hot team, it almost feels a little bit to me, and now Rick Barnes, too, is obviously a coach that has not had really any success in the NCAA tournament, and maybe you disagree. Maybe you think Tennessee is a team that could make a run, but they are a team that scares me. St. Mary's, to an extent, scares me a little bit, even though they have, you know, Mahoney, who can go off. But there are some really teams that I think have so many flaws that, yeah, you could see a team with a one or a two by their name not making it out of the first round.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, I was on Tennessee against Alabama last night, too. And, Tim, I was hoping that number would open, like, Bama won, yeah. Pick'em, Tennessee won. And when you saw the night before, the market was Tennessee minus 2.5, I was on with Greg Peterson on his show the night before, and I said, Greg, this line is telling you something.
Yep.
It is. And you have to read the betting lines. And Tennessee being a 2.5-point favorite told you Tennessee was the side. It's Tennessee or pass.
Yep.
And you can't be on the square dog in that case with Bama getting the points, the number one team getting the points. And don't worry about the rankings, by the way. There's so much debate from people about which team should be number one. And I heard Missouri fans complaining last week that they're not in the top 25.
Pitt fans are upset.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're number one. It doesn't matter if you're in the top 25. First of all, when the number one team loses, everybody's been campaigning, oh, Purdue's a phony. We got to put Bama at number one. And Bama gets number one and loses. Okay,
to a team who had just lost to Missouri and Vanderbilt in back-to-back games.
So now you're going
to
drop Bama from number one. Well, let's put Houston number one. Houston's played such a weak schedule. You might as well put Houston number one because the Cougars are not going to lose because they play a weaker schedule than Alabama and Purdue and UCLA and teams like that that would be in consideration for the top spot. But the rankings don't mean anything. Just Bama being number one on the road as a 3-point underdog tells you a lot. And I actually, Tim, Tennessee right now in the Ken Pomeroy ratings, number 54 in offensive efficiency. And teams outside the top 30 in offense or defense typically don't get there.
Yep.
And St. Mary's, I think, is going to run into some problems, too. Now the Gales are 32nd in offensive efficiency, which is not bad. When you get guys like Aiden Mahoney running up against better athletes.
He's a really good player.
He's a good player. You know,
the player, and I think we got into the weeds on this in the first podcast, but St. Mary's, and they play tonight as we're recording this on Thursday against San Diego, and then a game I do want to touch on Saturday when they host BYU. You know, Logan Johnson, he has the ability of just going, you know, ice cold like he did against Gonzaga. And fortunately for St. Mary's, they were able to come back. I know that brings up bad memories. So I'll just preface it this way, too. We're trying to figure out the perfect schedule for this betting podcast. It is not like college football where you get our lines that come out on Sunday. You know, we can look at them a little bit on Monday night. Myself and Adam did that. And then you and I fully broke down it on Thursday. So it's a little tricky. Obviously, as we get closer to the tournament, it'll be a little more concrete. We'll have a bunch of podcasts, but we're just up and running. We're probably, if I had to guess, going to do a Monday night for you on Tuesday, a Wednesday night, and then we'll take part of Matt's show on Friday with his Circa College Basketball Contest and have that for you early Saturday morning, late Friday night, whenever Matt has that, and we'll put that into the feed as well. By the way, if people don't know about the Circa College Basketball Contest, let people know where we are so far. I am not winning it, unfortunately, but what the concept is and what to expect as we go further into college basketball season.
Yeah, we've got 8 handicappers in the Circa College Hoops Challenge, 5 are VSIN guys, and then 3 outside, Paul Stone, Jim Root, and Rex Byers, who's an odds maker. And then Danielle Alvari and I from VSIN, we're both competing along with it too. But just 8 official contestants. Essentially, you get 50 picks every Friday night on the Saturday college basketball card. And I do the final hour of the Friday night show entirely on this Circa College Hoops Challenge. So it's all college hoops in that final hour. And if you don't get a chance to listen to it live, which is late night here on the West Coast, you can obviously listen to the replay or catch it now on this college hoops podcast that you and I are going to do. And I try to feature guys like you and Hoops Peterson and Wes Reynolds in that final hour of the show. So I think that's a really good hour for the listeners, viewers, to get a pretty good breakdown of the Saturday college hoops cards, Tim, which are monsters.
Yep.
With about 140, 150 games. And I guess we can kind of give you an appetizer to it right now, too, as we look ahead forward to the weekend.
Yeah, and the good thing about Matt's show, obviously, and why we're going to put it in the feed is the lines will be out, unlike right now. But I do want to touch on this weekend's games. I think normally, you know, you and I might get together, break down Thursday's games, and obviously as we get into conference tournaments, it'll be much, much more, more to bite off the apple. Purdue, Maryland playing less than 2 hours. So there's not going to be much time to break that down here. So looking ahead to Saturday, some interesting spots, not any, you know, top 25 spots that I love, but some big time games. And I want to hit on Baylor and Kansas. I'm curious what you make this line. Obviously, there's the revenge aspect. Baylor beat Kansas back on January 23rd by 6. Baylor really, Matt, since I looked it up, I want to say since January 27th, or actually later than that, January, I think the last 6 weeks, Matt, I looked it up on Bart Torvik, which is another kind of advanced numbers site. So since they started 10-5, 0-3 in conference play, lost in overtime to Kansas State. Since then, they have lost one game that was a road game against Texas, lost by 5 on the 30th of January. They are number 3 in the country, according to Bart Torvik, where you can kind of sort dates. So something to keep in mind, Baylor's been playing really well. Kansas will be a favorite here at home, probably, I don't know, in the 3-4 range, I would think, and somewhere in that ballpark. Is this a game that you're looking to bet if there's a particular number out there based off of your numbers?
So I will play Kansas here probably at 3 or less. Mm-hmm. Anything more than that, not a play on Kansas. Like you said, 75-69 the last time they played, January 23rd, and that was in Waco. I really feel like Allen Fieldhouse. I've been all over the country for college basketball games, Tim. Allen Fieldhouse is the number one home court advantage in the country. Have you ever been there? Have you seen a game there?
No.
That place just rocks. It is got to be the toughest place to win. And this is a payback game for the Jayhawks after the 6-point loss in Waco. That said, the Bears are fully healthy now, and they're playing their best basketball. I think it's interesting when you look at Ken Pom, the Big 12 is the best conference in the country, but Kansas is 8 and Baylor is 10. And those are the highest rated teams that the Big 12 has in the Ken Pom ratings. I think Kansas is starting to play pretty well now, too, because Grady Dick has got his confidence back. That guy, the freshman guard, he's really starting to compliment Jalen Wilson as a scorer. In fact, Kansas has won 5 of the past 6 since that loss to Baylor. The one loss in that stretch was a bad one at Iowa State, but again, on the road. And in fact, I think Wilson or Dick have led the Jayhawks in scoring in every game since January 10th. So these guys forming a pretty good 1-2 scoring combination. But I do think Baylor's coming on strong, and that's what concerns me a little bit here. I will not lay more than 3. That's the max for me. I made the number 3, but that might be a little bit of wishful thinking. I think it might come a little bit, a tick higher, 3.5 or 4. I also think Baylor's adjusted defensive rating of 78 on Ken Pom's a little deceiving, too. I think early in the season, Baylor's not the same team it is now. Would you agree with that?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I bought a preseason ticket on Baylor to win the title, and I thought it was might as well throw it in the trash. And now it actually doesn't have value because I got it at 20-1 in the preseason, and they're 20-1 right now. And I don't think that's a terrible bet because of the way this team has been playing. And as I mentioned, you know, at Bart Torvik, they're the number one adjusted offensive efficiency team since January 11th, this 10-1 stretch in the Big 12, lone loss to Texas. But the defense does have more to be desired sitting there in this stretch at 57th. So something to keep in mind on. But this would be a spot where I would look to back Kansas, but I think you're going to be a little bit surprised, I think, when you see this number post on Friday. I think it's going to be in the 3.5-4 range, and you know we'll see how the public reacts to that. Another spot that is an interesting one, Assembly Hall on Saturday, Indiana hosting Illinois. I think you and I were both on Indiana last night. That was Wednesday night, I should say, whenever you're listening. I thought I turned the game off. I didn't even watch it. Then I started to see the score. I'm like, oh, my God, we might have a chance to come back here in what I thought would be a letdown spot for Northwestern. Ultimately, Northwestern gets the big shot. They get the victory. And then Illinois last weekend, I think in the Circa Challenge, that was my only winner. It was not a great weekend for yours truly here. And then they respond and they lose to Penn State. But that was a Penn State game. You and I both were on Penn State.
Yep.
And Jalen Pickett went absolutely nuclear in that game for Penn State. He had 41 points. He couldn't miss. He was 10 of 11 from twos, 5 of 9 from threes, 6 of 6 from the line. So you wonder, okay, was that an Illinois loss or was that just a Penn State superhuman performance? So Anything intrigue you about Illinois, Indiana on Saturday?
Oh, certainly, because, man, you look at the Big Ten right now, I would say eight teams are in the tournament. Purdue, Indiana, Northwestern, Maryland, Illinois, Michigan State, Iowa, Rutgers. Those eight teams are in. Michigan, Whiskey, Penn State on the outside looking in. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Penn State's got a chance to make a run if Jalen Pickett can play like he did. Whew. I mean, if he goes out and scores 40 points, he can elevate the Nittany Lions, give them a chance. I really think in the Big Ten tournament, you could see a team like Penn State make a run if Jalen Pickett gets hot. But Illinois, this is a payback game for the Illini. The Hoosiers were not even playing really well when they went to Champaign and beat Illinois 80-65. And that was kind of an eye-opener. I thought at the time the Illini had a lot of like chemistry problems within the team. You could see the Brad Underwood was struggling with this group. But the Illini then after that kind of pulled it back together. I typically like to bet on conference revenge spots. Mm-hmm. Like I would probably look at Illinois or pass typically in this spot. But I do think the Hoosiers have gotten hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing them quite a bit lately. Now, I did lose at Northwestern, but I feel...
But they played well in the second half.
I don't feel like we miss... if it's not a word, is it? Miss handicap?
Eh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a podcast. You can say whatever you want.
I don't think we handicapped the game incorrectly. So Indiana didn't show up in the first half and fell behind by 19. Then the second half, you were back. And Mike Woodson and the Indiana bench gets two technicals. Northwestern gets four freebies. And then Boo Booey pushes off on the game-winning shot. And it's not called because why? Road teams get screwed in college hoops, and that's just the way it goes. And that's why
just ask Duke. The only time, only time people will be sympathetic for Duke last Saturday night at UVA.
Yeah, my brother texts me. He's like, "Wow, Duke got screwed at the end of the game." I said, "Well, first time for everything." Yeah, I'm not going to feel sorry for Duke, right?
No, I don't think anybody listening to the podcast will feel sorry for Duke either.
That's how the rest of us have been living.
Yeah,
while Duke's been benefiting from the officials for the last 30 years. Anyway, typically that's in college hoops, Tim. I don't play a lot of road teams, yep. And the reason why is road teams get screwed by the refs.
You know, I was about to tweet this out because I think I could count on one hand this year how many road teams I've played, especially road favorites.
Right.
Because
well, that's mostly what I'm talking about.
I took Indiana as a money line, you know, as a money line. I think it was minus 140, I want to say. So, mm-hmm. You know, that was an unfortunate spot there. I do want to get to that because we talked about this during the college football betting podcast where if it's 3, 2.5, you know, we've talked about, hey, 2.5 kind of telling you a story, 3.5 sometimes telling you a story as well, reading the lines. In college basketball, I've kind of gotten into the habit of I'd much rather, and I know maybe over the long term, does it hurt you? I don't know. We'll have to do the analysis. But if it's minus 140, like Indiana last night, I ended up eating more, right? 30 extra cents on that loss. However, there was a good chance the way that game was playing out, they might have just won the game by one. You wouldn't have covered the 2.5, too. So are you of the mindset, do you lay it, or do you believe in taking the money line if it's a short favorite that you want to back?
Well, okay, first of all, you want to be early to the party in these cases and not late, so that's going to change the way you bet the game sometimes. The night before, like I said, I was on Greg Peterson's show, and I bet Indiana plus one.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. And also, I want to say it's important to have several outs. If you're going to bet college basketball overnight, like the BetMGM app, I'll give you an example. I'm getting a half point, a point, sometimes a point and a half better on underdogs on the BetMGM app on overnights than I do at finding the rest of the market. Mm-hmm. Tim, today I've got Maryland plus 2.5.
Wow.
Against Purdue, right?
So, I mean, as we sit here recording,
right,
it's down to a pick at some spots.
Right. And 2.5 was out there at BetMGM last night, and I bet the opener. I mean, I bet a lot of dogs, and that's why a lot of times you want to have outs where you can have accounts at some of these books I call square books that have higher numbers on the favorites. You get a better price on the dogs. So I had Indiana plus one in that case. But let's say I did not bet Indiana the night before. And I wake up the next day, and I'm like, damn, the line switched to Indiana 1.5, too. I would have just laid the cheap money line price. Yeah. I'm not going to mess around with the points. I played four games Wednesday night. Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Colorado State,
nice.
Fresno State,
nice.
And Indiana. Won the three home teams, lost the road team. I'm telling you, I hate playing road favorites, and I rarely do. But I'll play some road dogs occasionally. But, man, it's tough. It's tough to win on road teams in college hoops.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about in college football, betting public loves them some higher-ranked road favorites, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
And, look, we talked about it. I don't know when the trend's going to die. You know, I've been under the mindset for a long time that there's a reason the line is what it is, right? You talked about the Tennessee game. They're number one in the country, but they're not. They're an underdog on the road. So trust the line. And when an unranked team is a favorite over a ranked team, more often than not, that's a pretty, pretty big tell, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen this trend this year where it's 28-13 now against the spread when the home unranked team is the favorite against the ranked team. Just kind of, it's just a tell. Now, nothing is a blind bet. And you know, do your own handicapping. So just something there. Sticking with Saturday's slate, I'll give you a game that intrigues me, and I wouldn't be surprised, Matt, if it ultimately lands up in our Circa contest here, depending on what the number is. I think this is a good spot to buy low on Virginia Tech and sell high on Pittsburgh. Virginia Tech earlier this week lost to Georgia Tech. That's just a horrible loss,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely terrible loss. But it was on the road. And now they're going to be at home. Castle Coliseum is a really challenging place to play. Ask Virginia. That was a terrific game. I actually do think that Mike Young is a pretty darn good coach. I just think the talent is kind of hit or miss there with that roster. So I think this is going to be maybe that spot to get Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's been rolling. You know, this is a team that I think was picked below Louisville in the ACC preseason poll. I want to say they were 14th out of 15 teams. They've won now six in a row. However, this is a really tough spot, and their fans are bitching that they're not ranked. And, you know, now some eyeballs are going to be on Pittsburgh. So you're going to see Virginia Tech as a favorite coming off a loss to Georgia Tech, and Pittsburgh 19-7, winners of six in a row, including wins over Miami, which was a miraculous win, but they still got the win. A win on the road against UNC, who is incredibly overrated this year. So I think Virginia Tech is a spot for me that's kind of that buy low, sell high type of opportunity where I think people are going to be surprised to see Virginia Tech as a favorite mm-hmm. on Saturday against Pitt.
Yeah, in terms of a spot, I agree completely with you here. By the way, Pitt, you wonder why this team's overachieving? One of the oldest teams in college basketball. You've got five veteran starters on this team, and that's been the key to Pitt's success this season. But
saved Jeff Capel's job, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just running through the Saturday card, some games that do jump out to you. We're not going to go crazy because obviously we don't have numbers out yet. There's a couple other games I'm curious to get your thoughts on, but a couple games that do jump out to you on Saturday's slate.
Let's see. We talked about Illinois, Indiana. I made Indiana here a 3-point favorite. I haven't made all my numbers for a Saturday. I usually do that on Thursday nights. So we're doing this podcast on Thursday, early Thursday afternoon. Tennessee at Kentucky, I think, is really interesting because the Vols were 12-point favorites overnight. And that was on a Friday night. 12-point favorites against Kentucky the first time these teams played.
I'm still mad, Matt.
I know, you didn't bet it.
I didn't bet it.
You thought about betting it.
Oh,
you didn't bet it.
God.
Wes Reynolds and I talked about that game the night before. I was like, it looks like you have to bet Kentucky here, right? As a 12-point dog.
And they went out,
I think the number closed, what, 10.5? Mm-hmm. But still, Wildcats won the game 63-56, so it's a payback spot for Tennessee. But the Vols are off a win over the number one team going on the road. What do you make the number? I made it Tennessee -2.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that number?
I think you're going to get Tennessee
A little higher. Okay.
But not much. And
Really a tricky spot for the Vols coming off the win over Bama.
Yeah. I circled that spot, too. If it wasn't the revenge aspect, which mm-hmm. you and I clearly subscribe to, I would be all over Kentucky in that spot. Look, back in Kentucky this year is not really enjoyable, but I didn't back them on Wednesday night, and they go on the road and they win in Starkville. I mean, that's a nice win for Kentucky as a 3.5-point underdog.
I also think this, what I've seen from Kentucky is this is a team that still has a lot of talent, and they got some fight left. And when you put Kentucky in the underdog role, for some reason that team responds better. Kentucky was a dog at Mississippi State.
Yep, won that game outright.
Yeah, I know some sharp bettors like Mississippi State. Boom, Kentucky gets the cash. How about... I'm going to go out west here to the Nevada and Utah State. Why? You got that on
there? Got it right here, yep.
So the first time these teams played in Reno, Wolfpack won 85-70. That's not realistic. I think that was just one of those games where Nevada pulled away and the wheels kind of fell off the Aggies. There was some talk that the Mountain West might get five teams in the tournament. Not going to happen.
No.
Okay? Not happening. I think the Mountain West gets three. It's going to be San Diego State, Boise, and Nevada. Utah State's fighting hard to maybe knock Nevada out of that third spot and be that third team, which is still, you still got time to do that. And you also have the conference tournament around the corner. But a 15-point win for Nevada the first time around. Utah State's 9-5 and behind those big three right now in the Mountain West. I make Utah State like a, I'm going to say a 4-point favorite here, 4.5-point favorite. And I think everything is pointing to a play on Utah State in that game. That's going to be the desperate team. I think the Wolfpack have been a little bit lucky lately. They were lucky to get that win at the Pit against New Mexico, 77-76. Needed to come back to beat Fresno State and cover that game, a deceiving score. Wolfpack have won 4 in a row. I think you're going to get a hungry Utah State team here, and that's probably the right side in that game on Saturday night.
Yep, I'm going to echo a lot of the same here. That was one of the games I wrote down in my note. Wolfpack won by 15 on January 13th. You mentioned Utah State on the outside looking in. That San Jose State loss is looming large here. I texted you earlier this week about playing Utah State against Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't like laying big numbers, but I love the situational spot. Two back-to-back losses. For Utah State, Air Force coming off a pretty sizable victory. But, you know, Utah State, for those who don't know, this is the number one three-point shooting team in the country, now number two. Mm-hmm. And I backed them last Wednesday against San Diego State. They lost that game. I think they were a short favorite against the Aztecs. And they shot 5-19 from three. That's not realistic. I think you get a pretty solid shooting effort here. And I could absolutely see myself on the Aggies on Saturday night.
The one thing that's not great about the matchup is Nevada's got long, rangy perimeter defenders. They've got athletes. They're a pretty good defensive team, better than most Steve Alford teams are in terms of defense because they got long athletes. So that's one thing Utah State's got to contend with at the three-point line. I think the team that's actually the best matchup for Utah State is New Mexico, in terms of really favorable matchup for Utah State, because the Lobos play no defense and they leave the three-point line unguarded. And that's the team that Utah State should light up. And Utah State did beat New Mexico up in Logan. What was that score, Tim? I think Utah State won by 10 or something like that about a week and a half ago.
They won by 11, yeah.
Okay.
84-73. Interesting you mentioned it. A Friday night game. And, you know, we were talking briefly off air about this one. New Mexico goes to San Jose State. One of the bigger surprises of the Mountain West is San Jose State. They're going to be a home dog in this situation. Tim Miles has turned this thing around, and they've got some impressive wins. Look, they're not going to make the NCAA tournament, but they beat UNLV here in Vegas earlier this week. They beat Utah State at home last week. So they've got some solid wins on their ledger so far this year. And, you know, we can't really say much about it. Jalen House, who is the leading scorer for New Mexico, did not play on Tuesday night against Wyoming.
Yeah,
which
quick comment
disaster.
About that, by the way. First of all, I can't believe New Mexico lost that game to a skeleton crew of Cowboys. They basically had five legitimate players, a couple guys coming off the bench. You could tell early, I don't bet many totals, and I'm kicking myself for this, Tim, because you could tell Wyoming did not want to run with New Mexico because they didn't have enough players, right? Didn't have the depth. And Jalen House is a racehorse. He runs up and down the floor, speeds up the tempo. Without him, why didn't we bet the under in that game?
70-56, the final on that one.
5 minutes into the game, I was like, I can't believe I didn't bet the under in this game. Seriously. Anyway.
And so you think about New Mexico, last undefeated team in college basketball, entered 2023 14-0.
Yeah.
And now here they sit, 19-7. They're not making the NCAA tournament unless they win the Mountain West tournament.
No, that's not happening.
But
they don't play defense.
Yeah, I we'll see. I mean, I can't, you know, say, hey, bet San Jose State, especially of Jalen House, who did warm up on Tuesday, and I guess the reports were if it was an emergency. He could, you know what's an emergency? Being down 15 to Wyoming. That seems like an emergency to me, but they weren't competitive in that one. So just a little nugget on that one.
You know, I'm interested, just a quick topic we can hit on here. There's going to be some coaching changes after the season. Tim Miles at San Jose has done a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. I think he's got to be in line for one of these pretty good jobs that are going to open up. I thought UNLV should have hired him. That was about 4 years ago, I think, when T.J. Otzelberger got hired. I thought the Rebels...
Well, when Chris Beard got hired.
Well, yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. UNLV would take Chris Beard back now. But yeah. Chris Beard has got to get one of these big jobs. I don't know where it's going to be.
Is it going to be this year or next year?
Well, first of all,
the charges were dropped.
How about being innocent until proven guilty? Charges dropped, right?
Yep. Is Louisville keeping their head coach?
Kenny Payne?
I mean, it is
3-22 or 3-23.
They did cover and were competitive at home against Virginia on Wednesday night. So congratulations. I don't know. That might have skyrocketed them to like 283 in KenPom. Oh, 285. I just looked at it. 285. So they moved up, I think, 15 spots in KenPom. Based off of a close loss, 10 spots.
Not very impressive offensive execution in the final couple possessions of that game. By the way, you know, why would Chris Beard be untouchable? I think that's something we could talk about here for a minute because I feel like sports stars, coaches are held to higher standards than even like our politicians and elected officials. Well, if you want to dig into
somebody, we don't have to go down that road.
Why would Chris Beard be untouchable? I think he's going to get one of these jobs.
I mean,
How about Ohio State? I mean, do you think the Michigan job might open? There's going to be spots, I think, where Chris Beard's got to be considered. Now, Tim Miles, we were talking about him. He's done a hell of a job at San Jose. I don't think Tim Miles is going to get hired at Ohio State because he was bounced at Nebraska. But Tim Miles could get a job maybe like Wichita State or something like that, right? There's going to be some spots out there where I think you're going to see Tim Miles' name surface. Chris Beard is top five, definitely a top 10 college basketball coach.
What he did at Texas Tech was a miracle worker.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have won the national championship.
And he made a mistake at Texas, lost his job. He's paid the price for it. His fiance didn't want charges filed. So Chris Beard, I think, has got to be up for one of these jobs, whether some people like it or not. He's that good a coach. Hugh Freeze is back college football, by the way, right?
Yep. In the SEC.
There's a lot of different examples we could bring up here, but I think that's just something that's interesting going down the stretch. I think the most obvious coaching change, Tim, has got to be Mark Mad Dog Madsen. The job he's done at Utah Valley, he's got to get the Stanford job.
Yeah, that would make a ton of sense and bring his dance moves as well. Stanford last weekend beating Arizona? That was
that
was something out of,
you know, a lot of times you see these head scratching results, but when any of these highly ranked teams, top 10 teams, get on the road in college hoops, they can get tripped up. They can get beat. A lot of people don't understand how hard it is to win game after game on the road in college basketball, especially when you have a target on your back. You're the top five, top 10 team. You're going to take somebody's best shot every time you go on the road. I saw Arizona as a 9.5, 10-point favorite last week. I said, man, that's going to be a tricky spot for Arizona. I didn't have the guts to take Stanford in the points because I really don't like this Stanford team at all. Then you watch the game unfold and you're like, yep, should have taken Stanford in the points. It's one of those spots. I wonder, if Arizona is going to turn into the team. I think it can be in March because right now, I'll mention this too, I think you might have one as well. You talk about futures bets at current odds. People always say, what do you have? And nobody wants to hear what you have in your pocket. Right. Odds no longer exist. What's out there in the market right now that you can bet? I think Arizona 22-1 at Circus Sports is a pretty good bet. And here's why. When you get into March, a lot of times it's about matchups. And Arizona's got Tubelis at 6'11", Ballo at 7 foot. that's a front line that not many teams can contend with. And a lot of these games are going to come down to, are the guards hot? Do they hit threes?
Kirk Creasy can get hot.
Right. Kirk Creasy can get hot. Arizona's got the guards. They could do it. But the one thing they are going to have the advantage in is the front line with Tubelis and Ballo. And Tommy Lloyd's a hell of a coach. So Arizona 22-1. Circus Sports right now, that's a future I would recommend. Anything out there for you? I've got good numbers on Indiana, Purdue.
Indiana was what, 50-1 pretty recently?
I've got a 50-1 on the Hoosiers. I got 100-1 on Purdue.
100-1 on Purdue is a nice little pocket there.
Early November. UCLA? What do you feel? Because we don't talk much about the Bruins. I think that's a team that can win the whole thing, too.
I do, too. I wanted to bring up a team, and I didn't know their current odds at Circa, so I'm just going to scan down and see what they are. Because I'm waiting to pounce on this particular team, and odds makers aren't dummies. So what do you think about TCU at 35-1? Because this was a team, Matt, before Mike Miles got hurt, they were as high as 13th in KenPom, and they had a win on the road at Kansas, won by 23 points. They've got a big boy in Lampkin, Eddie Lampkin, 6'11", can do a lot of things down low. I know that Jamie Dixon, Pitt fans are still mad at him for never getting a championship. I've just been waiting, and I don't know if this weekend is the spot, and I was going to bring this game up. Oklahoma State visits TCU. TCU's lost four in a row. They've just been a completely different team without Mike Miles. He got hurt against Mississippi State. They've been 1-5. That includes a loss to Mississippi State. If you look at their numbers since that game, they're 94th in the country per Bart Torvik. So they've just been completely lost without their leading scorer. But Mike Miles reportedly practiced earlier this week, did not play against Iowa State. I think some people are expecting his return to be on Saturday against Oklahoma State. So I think that could be a good spot to back the Horned Frogs to buy them at a spot against an Oklahoma State team that, you know, I think is a bit hard to trust. I know some people believed in Oklahoma State heading into the Kansas game, and they did not fare all that well. But is TCU at 35-1? Are those long enough odds for you, knowing that they are getting Mike Miles back here relatively soon?
Yeah, I was looking at TCU and the KenPom number 59 in efficiency in defense, in offense. But with Mike Miles back, it's also a different look that the Horned Frogs give you. I think that's a decent number. Did you shop around? Is that the best you can find?
I didn't shop around, so I just pulled
up
Circa.
You might be able to find 40, maybe even something north of 40 on TCU.
DraftKings had 30, which I wouldn't do. But yeah, if you can get 40 on TCU.
Definitely got to look around for all these. 22-1 is the best I can find anywhere on Arizona.
Yeah, and
that's right here at Circa.
With the talent that Arizona has on their roster, I think you could do a lot worse than 22-1. I also think that Baylor, at the price in that 20 range.
I agree with you.
I think Baylor is worth the
Big
play. 12,
the Big 12 teams, one thing, they're battle-tested, you know, at the top of the league right now.
And they've got a championship pedigree. You know, Scott Drew's won a title before.
All those teams lost four or five games in conference, but that doesn't mean anything because that Big 12 schedule is so brutal. You know, it's kind of like in boxing when a fighter's record's 35-0, but he hasn't fought anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy who's like 27-7 is better because he's battle-tested and he's fought better competition. The records, a lot of times, the college hoops are empty. But in the Big 12, all these teams have been tested. But you take 35-1 on TCU or you take what's out there on Baylor, you're going to have a good number in your pocket if that team gets to the Sweet 16. And those teams really should get to the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. So before we run, I did want to get your thoughts because you know the Big 10 really well. Michigan State obviously, you know, dealt with tragedy on their campus this week. They go on the road to Michigan. Look, I backed Michigan last weekend and end of game execution was yikes. yikes. Well, and then I had Wisconsin earlier this week and Wisconsin didn't have a field goal for 10 minutes and 54 seconds to close out the game and still won covered. So thank you, Wisconsin.
That was amazing.
Michigan State at Michigan. It's going to be a prime time game on Fox. Any thoughts on what to expect here? I know you don't like road teams,
right,
but is this a spot to potentially look at Sparty here on the road?
You know, I'm going to leave the intangibles, the emotions out of it, out of the handicap, because I don't think that's going to play into it, really. I like the Spartans better, and I like Tom Izzo better in a matchup with Juwan Howard right now. But the problem the Spartans are going to have in this game is that Hunter Dickinson, you should be able to feed the ball inside to him and play through him against Michigan State, and that should be a big advantage for the Wolverines. I don't think Michigan's playing very smart basketball on the offensive end of the floor right now, because you've got a horse that you can go through. You've got to run your offense through him, and Michigan's not doing that with Dickinson. I don't want to bet. I'm not going to bet on Michigan. I'll tell you that, Tim. It's going to be Michigan State or pass. And the reason is I think Juwan Howard has kind of lost control a little bit. I was really disappointed in how immature the Wolverines acted in that game at Wisconsin. You know what I'm talking about? With
the mask, the ski
mask,
mask
and the T-shirt, the ski mask and the free Juwan,
yeah.
All that stuff. That's corny nonsense. It just shows that there's a lack of maturity in the program. And Tom Izzo is the type of coach that you want to bet on in situations like this. So it's going to be Spartans or pass for me.
All right. Last one for me to you. I don't know if you have any others. Number to keep an eye on, BYU at St. Mary's.
Oh, how about the first matchup between these teams?
Yeah, I had them in our contest. BYU was catching, I think you did too, 5.5 or 6.
Yeah.
And comes down to the wire. Mahaney hits the buzzer beater.
Hell of a shot by Mahaney.
Yeah. St. Mary's wins 57-56. But, of course, BYU gets the cover. This number is going to be double digits on Saturday night at St. Mary's. For the Gales, this is a good spot, I guess. You're back at home. The next game after that is Pacific. You know, they play San Diego tonight, so it's not really a sandwich spot. So it is a good spot. You'll get your best, most attention here from St. Mary's for BYU. But I think this is going to be a really big number, Matt. And, it would be Cougars or pass here, because BYU is not vintage BYU by any stretch of the imagination. But, they've had some really close games. They went to the Kennel last weekend, covered against Gonzaga. We talked about the win over, or the close loss to St. Mary's. They do have some weird losses. They lost to Pepperdine on the road. So
lost to Utah Valley.
Yeah. So this is
Mad Dog Madsen.
It's your guy.
He won at BYU and he won at Oregon.
Whew.
That's pretty good for Utah Valley.
20-6 Utah Valley
yeah,
this year.
That's why I think Mad Dog's got to get the Stanford job anyway.
But that would be a game I keep an eye on.
I agree with everything you're saying. I made St. Mary's a 10-point favorite, but I'm actually hoping it's at least 10 or a little bit higher.
I think it'll be a little higher.
I want to look at BYU. And BYU should have won the first matchup between these teams. Didn't. Lost on the Mahaney turnaround shot at the buzzer. That was a hell of a shot. I thought BYU outplayed Gonzaga in Spokane for long stretches of that game last week. And I think the result's a little bit deceiving, Tim, because BYU was a better team for long stretches in that game. I like the way the Cougars are playing right now. Again, I don't want to commit to a side right now, but it's going to be BYU or pass for me in that game.
All right, before we bid farewell, any other games of interest or lines you're really looking for when these pop on Friday?
No, I think we've hit on everything, really. Maybe Oklahoma at Texas. How big a favorite is Texas going to be in that game? Because even the bottom teams in the Big 12 are still fighting.
The
right
best
now.
13-13 in college basketball history. That'll be our next podcast with Oklahoma.
Iowa State at K-State is an interesting game. Now I guess on the West Coast, Cal at UCLA. Cal's off a 23-point loss to Arizona. Golden Bears are 3-22. How big do you make a number like this in a conference game? Cal at UCLA. Do you make
Well, what are they? They're 16-point underdogs as we speak to USC.
I was going to say, do you make UCLA a 21-point
favorite?
Got to
be in the 20s.
Jeez.
It is not pretty. There's some bad Power 5 teams out there. All right. Once again, we're just trying to get our feet under us, try to figure out what the timing is right for college basketball. But please rate, review, and subscribe. Most importantly, subscribe. Tell a friend, hey, that college football betting podcast, we've got a college basketball one now. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. We'll have another episode in your feed from Matt's show, Saturday Bet Prep, which airs late Friday night into Monday, into Saturday mornings. But that's going to do it for our podcast. We will talk to you later right here on the College Basketball Betting Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.